Anyone else see a shepherd walk through here a little bit ago? Man, he left a mess. Well, this morning, we were reminded that Jesus was revealed in a way that nobody quite expected. And sometimes we lose sight of that in the Christmas season, especially in America, with all the lights, all the glitter, all the glitz, all the glamour. And well, you look around, and this is more what it would have been like, right? There's a dirty side of Christmas. And we need to recapture that as we understand the fact that the God of heaven came down to earth, not to be in some Ritz-Carlton, not to be born and raised by the kings of the time, but that he was born in a way that he was laid in a feeding trough. He was born to a poor family, a scandalous way. He would have had a stigma that would have followed him most of his life. And yet that's how God chose to reveal himself to us. And what we're going to find out tonight is that just like he was revealed in a way that we don't always expect, is that he proclaims things that people definitely weren't expecting then and even now. And so when I don't remember how old I was really young at this point, and I was at the beach, and there was a guy on the beach, and he was selling, I think they were called Fudgy Wudgies. Anyone remember a Fudgy Wudgie? They were awesome. And this guy's walking along with his cart, and he's yelling something, and I'm like, oh, cool, Fudgy Wudgies. And I hear him say, free Fudgy Wudgies. And I'm like, this is great. And so I get up, and I start trumpeting that around the beach at the top of my lungs. I'm like a five-year-old, maybe a six-year-old, maybe four. I have no idea. But I was young, and I was loud. And so this guy's trying to sell Fudgy Wudgies, and he's got me walking around going, free Fudgy Wudgies, free Fudgy Wudgies. And so people are flying in. They're coming from all directions because everyone likes a free Fudgy Wudgie. And so they're getting disappointed because he's like, no, they're not free. I'm selling them for a dollar. And he's getting upset because all these people are looking for free Fudgy Wudgies. All the while, I'm just doing what I thought I was helping them. Like, hey, I want to broadcast this to the world. And that's a pretty, that's a off-the-wall example, I know. But I think we experience that in our own way sometimes, even just throughout our normal day. And so parents out there, how many parents we got in the room? You ever find yourself saying something to your child only to then have your spouse say something the exact opposite to your child? You're like, wait a second, I just said no, wait till later. And you're like, yeah, open it up, here's the candy. And that's more me, right? I'm like, yeah, here's the candy, kids. And so it's like, wait, I thought we were on the same page, but, you know, not always. Or maybe at work, you're a foreman and your project manager is making promises to the client and you're doing what you think you're supposed to do and the client storms out because they're upset and you find out later, oh, well, my PM said this and, oh, but I didn't know that. Or maybe at school. Anyone ever have that dreaded thing they call group work? The worst thing ever? And you know, it's that moment when you just look at the rest of your group and you go, wait, I thought you were supposed to be doing that. And everyone's fingers are pointed a different direction, right? We have these miscommunications. We're wanting to proclaim something. We're wanting to do something. And yet, maybe we're not always doing it truthfully or as honestly or as faithfully as we could be. And so I want to take a fresh look back into scriptures tonight, back into who Jesus was, just to allow us all to have an opportunity to refresh and relook and go, is that the message I'm proclaiming? Is that the message that I'm hearing? Is that the message that those around me are hearing me say? So this is what it says in Luke chapter 4. And so this is many years after the shepherds, right? Probably like 30. Jesus has been already kind of going around and he's been teaching, so people are starting to know who he is. He's saying things that are catching people off guard and going, all right, wait a second, is that really what it says? And so people are usually leaving with an amazement or with a wonder, like, where is this coming from? And so Luke 4 kind of picks up with that, and you get this summary statement from Luke, and it says this. He basically says Jesus was traveling and teaching. Basically, he's traveling and teaching. And so here's what we got. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And so you get this big summary statement. We know what Jesus is doing. He's teaching, he's traveling, he's telling everyone. And Luke then gives us a glimpse into what is he actually telling people? What is he actually saying as he's teaching? And he quotes Isaiah. Right? Then he makes the shortest sermon ever. It's 8 words. "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus is saying to the people of Israel, you know that servant you've been waiting for that Isaiah has told you about? That's me. You know that something new God said he would do to rescue his people? Here I am. You know that person that will make the way for you, God's people, to be back with him? That's me. See, Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom. But what does that mean? We hear that word a lot, kingdom, proclaim the kingdom. Well, by quoting Isaiah, Jesus gives us an outline. And his message begins with proclaiming 3 things: good news, freedom, and God's favor. And at this point, the crowd's going, this is exactly what we've been waiting for. So this hasn't caught anybody off guard. The Old Testament is filled with passages about God's favor on his people, the day when God will rescue his people, freeing God's people. So they're all like, yeah, Jesus, we're following you. We love what you're saying. But his message is reinforced with his actions. So his message begins by proclaiming. It's reinforced by his actions. You read the rest of the book of Luke, and that's what Luke is doing. He's showing you where Jesus is fulfilling these scriptures in the rest of his life. And it's most seen with his audience. It's most seen with his audience, the poor. It says good news to the poor, to the prisoner. Prisoner, well, if you're a prisoner, then you're a criminal. You've done something wrong. Wait, what do you mean freedom for the prisoner? The blind. Many people thought, especially in that time, if you were blind or born blind, you did something wrong. Hand of God is against you. And the oppressed. The oppressed, that's the only grouping there that the people in the crowd would have been, yes, he's finally saying what we want him to say, right? The oppressed. And this is both literal and figurative, right? Literal and figurative. He came for the poor. He came for the people who were literally blind to give them sight. But he also came for the ones whose hearts maybe were blind, whose hearts were hardened. He came for people that are dressed like I am tonight. Those of us who dress ourselves, there's real people in the world who this is what their clothing looks like. There was a group of us who went to Africa a couple years ago, and The people in the village have one set of clothing, and they wash it like once a week. Well, it's dusty and it's dirty, and he came to free them. There's people right down the street in Allentown, homeless. All right, this is reality to them. They don't have a chance to just go home and put on their Sunday best and come and put their smiles on and sit in church. And this is who Jesus came for. But then there's also the ones who maybe we dress up, we look good, but inside our heart looks like this. There's a couple holes in it, and there's some dirt, and there's some stains, and there's things that we don't want necessarily the person next to us or behind us or around us to hear or know about in our past. That's who Jesus came for. He came for the poor. He came for the prisoner, the blind, and the oppressed. And here's the beauty of it. He came not for condemnation, not for judgment, not for accusation. He came for good news. He came for freedom. He came to declare God's favor. What message are we proclaiming with our lips and with our actions? And to whom are we proclaiming this message to? It's time for us all to refocus ourselves and think, am I as focused on taking this message to the blind and the poor and the oppressed and the prisoners as Jesus was? Just imagine the impact. Imagine what would happen if even just this week, everyone here, just in this room, would go and share with somebody who's oppressed, somebody who's blind, somebody who's a prisoner, somebody who is poor. Imagine the impact that that would have. Imagine the impact if every Christian around the world this week just told one other person about this baby that was born 2,000 years ago, about a baby who came to save, who didn't come with glamour, but began his life in a feeding trough and ended his life on a cross. Imagine this week someone who has lost hope, and you and I can share the good news with them that they're loved so much that God would take our pain. Maybe we know somebody who's stuck in sin and can't seem to get out of it. Imagine what would happen if we would go to them and say, Jesus came to give you freedom from that, not guilt for it. Maybe someone feeling like they're not worthy, who've been told over and over again, whether directly or just indirectly, that they just have no worth or value. And tell them you have value and you're living in God's favor and God loves you. As we go from here, as we celebrate Christmas this year, as we live our lives in the new year to come, let us proclaim a message that's consistent with the message that Jesus began his ministry with, that Jesus wants to continue his ministry through his people. Good news, freedom, God's favor through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our hero, and our King. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, words don't even begin to describe the amazing feeling that we have knowing that we are in your favor, that we are blessed by you, Lord, not because of anything we've done, not because we're worthy, but because the one who is worthy, Lord, because you became unworthy in our place. And so help us as we go this year, Lord, Yes, to enjoy the holiday season, absolutely to enjoy the time with family and the joy of being together and giving to others. Lord, we definitely want to enjoy that, God. But help us remember that it's about so much more. And may the time that we celebrate just open up our eyes and give us the courage and the boldness to share the one true gift that we can share with those around us, Lord, which is you, Jesus. May your name be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen.